London Business School Review. Why private equity firms outperform. How exactly is value created? New research gives some pointers by Alexander A. Alizizuk, Emmanuel T. DeGeorge, A. Tekin Ertan, and Florin Vasvari.
It has long been believed that private equity funds generally make more profitable company acquisitions than those in the corporate world. True or false? Our research proves that this is indeed the case. More intriguingly, perhaps, is how they achieve this and whether different types of private equity firms and their general partners, GPs, focus on different aspects of post-acquisition performance. The answers, we believe, are significant not only for private equity firms and corporate acquisitions departments, but across business in general. They have much to tell us about priorities and the creation of value for investors. We have found that private equity funds pay lower valuations for their acquisitions than corporate acquirers. Looking at a range of European deals, we examined the prices of deals when measured against target companies' earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. On average, the price to EBITDA multiples paid by private equity funds were 8.3% lower than when a similar company was acquired by a corporate. From this, we can deduce that GPs are either first-class negotiators or highly skilled at identifying undervalued companies. That is not all. Private equity funds not only strike purchase prices on significantly more advantageous terms than those achieved by corporate acquirers, during the first 3 years of new ownership, private equity-bought companies also achieve greater increases in leverage, operating profitability, assets and sales than similar companies not in private equity hands. The increases in profitability and sales suggest that private equity firms are able to bring about significant efficiencies while also pursuing growth. Size, success, track record. There are, however, important distinguishing characteristics in the approach and performance of varying types of private equity funds. There are three dimensions in which differences can be identified. 1. Larger funds versus smaller funds. We noted that smaller funds, those of $500 million or below, target higher expansion as their top priority. They show the most significant sales growth. In contrast, GPs managing larger funds tend to put the emphasis on operational improvements and efficiency gains. Thus, the companies under their control display far greater growth in earnings than those owned by the smaller funds. 2. Funds with a good performance history versus those with a less impressive track record. In this respect, our findings are perhaps less surprising. They suggest that success breeds success. Funds that have done well achieve better results in improving the performance of acquired companies than those with a less impressive history. There is also some evidence that a focus by these better regarded funds on sales growth may help to maintain their outperformance when measured against the rest. 3. Well-established funds versus newcomers. Our definition of well-established embraces private equity firms that manage 10 or more funds. Hence, there is obviously some overlap with our first category, size. We found that these well-established funds make larger investments, often bankrolled by leverage, and achieve significantly higher earnings and asset growth than the newcomers. This suggests that well-established funds have built up a bank of expertise in terms of bringing about operating efficiencies. By contrast, smaller funds, perhaps because they lack this know-how, are more focused on driving sales growth. From the boom years to the financial crisis. The deals we looked at cover the years from 1998 to 2014, taking in both the boom years and the financial crisis. As noted, private equity funds paid on average 8.3% less in terms of multiples than their corporate equivalents across the entire period. But look at the figures for different periods within the whole time span. Before the financial crisis, the valuation discount for private equity acquirers compared with corporate buyers was 10.6%. Since the crisis subsided, the gap has been about 11.6%. So how come we end up with an average for 1998 to 2014 of 8.3%? Put simply, it is because there was practically no difference between the valuations paid by private equity and those paid by corporate acquirers during the credit crisis. Note too one further intriguing finding. The valuation discounts enjoyed by private equity in comparison with its corporate counterparts are larger when the deal itself is smaller. This suggests that funds specialising in smaller companies have an edge in terms of creating value for investors. Comparing apples with oranges. There are dangers when comparing valuations of private equity deals with those of corporate acquisitions. A corporate acquirer may be prepared to pay extra in return for synergies. These neither show up on the radar in the same way as valuations, nor tend to feature in private equity deals. That said, it is worth reminding ourselves of the nuts and bolts of how private equity financing works. For firms and their GPs, there are essentially three distinct parts to the creation of value for their investors. Part one is to make the best possible selection of deals and to ensure that they are structured in the most efficient manner, not least with regard to the price paid. Once the acquisition is completed, part two involves improving the performance of the company concerned, either in terms of operating efficiency or sales growth, or indeed both. Then comes the exit, when, it is hoped, the company is sold on to a new owner at a higher price than the one paid by the private equity fund. It is what happens in the intervening period that often dictates the extent to which the exit meets investors' expectations or fails to do so. In particular, it is the different behaviours of private equity owners and their corporate equivalents that are of special interest. What did we find in this respect? Private equity GPs are focused first on sales growth and investments in tangible assets, frequently funded by taking on new debt. Their debt levels rose, on average, 9% over a three-year post-acquisition period, this against 3% for similar companies not in private equity ownership. Sales grew, on average, by about 110% over 3 years of private equity ownership, while total assets grew by about 85%. This increased leverage can be seen in funds large and small. And at the same time as increasing sales, private equity GPs drive substantial operational improvements compared to firms that are not private equity owned. In 3 years of private equity ownership, earnings as measured by EBITDA increased on average by close to 100%. As we have seen, different-sized firms tend to pursue different investment strategies. Larger and better established GPs, with their focus on operating efficiencies and improvements, expand earnings on average by 100%, while among firms managing smaller funds, the increase is between 37% and 41%. Established GPs make bigger investments, often borrowing money to increase the assets of the acquired company by more than 120%. When it comes to sales, they achieve growth of 118% expansion against 63% for smaller funds. Regardless of the differing strategies involved, and bearing in mind that corporate acquirers may sometimes have different incentives, our research shows that the performance of private equity-owned companies is driven by two things. Private equity firms have the ability to buy companies at lower valuations, thus keener prices, than non-private equity owners. And private equity funded firms take specific actions after the purchase and before disposal to increase sales, operating efficiencies and tangible assets. Private equity is successful.
Alexander A. Alizizuk is a PhD candidate. Emmanuel T. De George is Assistant Professor of Accounting. Aytekin Ertan is Assistant Professor of Accounting. And Florin Vasvari is Term Professor of Accounting at London Business School. For more fresh ideas from London Business School Review, visit london.edu/LBSR.